I know most of you are very much aware, very well acquainted with at least a couple, if not three, verses in Ephesians chapter 2. We use them often in spreading the gospel, sharing the gospel with others, and that would be verses 8 through 10. But I want us to look today at Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1 through 10, and I want us to look at it in relation to an appreciation of the gospel of grace. An appreciation of God's, appreciation of God's grace. If we look at chapter 1, and if we were studying through the book, we would have already looked at chapter 1, but if we looked at chapter 1, we would have considered our condition under grace. What it means to actually be under God's grace, be saved by His grace. But here Paul reminds us of our condition before grace and the riches of God's grace. One thing that must happen before we can actually lead a person to Christ is that they must see their condition without Christ. And the apostle goes into great detail here. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. We'll read our text and then begin the actual message. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power, the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might shew the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You for this opportunity to assemble together, this opportunity to open Your Word, read Your Word, meditate on Your Word, examine what is being presented by the inspired writers who have given us this book. Father, I pray that You would help each one of us to listen attentively. I pray that if there is one here today without Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, if there's one listening over the internet, Father, I pray that You would speak to their hearts. I pray that You would convict them of their need and convict them of the Savior, that they might repent and trust Him as Savior, be born again today, receive eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. Father, bless us, and I pray, Lord, that You would help me to share Your Word in a way that would be pleasing to everyone, that would be helpful to everyone that would hear today. Ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, our first three verses, I want us to look at our condition before entering the grace of God. Our condition before grace. In chapter 2, verse 1, in verse 1 he said, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." Verse 5 mentions the same concept. "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved." Our condition before grace. Verse 1 says that we were dead in trespasses and in sin. When God created Adam, and from Adam's side created Eve, and God gave them life, and God gave them a commandment, one commandment to obey, to try their faith, for them to obey and show their love, their dependence, their obedience on Him. And He told Adam that if you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, on the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now it is true that they began to die physically that day. And it's true in that sinful condition, they would die physically and they would spend an eternity separated from God in spiritual death, all eternity. But immediately upon that sin, they died spiritually. That spirit that dwelt within them that was able to worship God in spirit and in truth, and was able to understand the things of God, that spirit was compromised. That spirit was defiled. They were depraved. Humanity became depraved in nature. They had spiritual life, but then they died the day that they disobeyed God. They, for the first time, knew evil. We, as soon as we are old enough to begin to understand things and begin to make choices, begin to obey or not obey, we begin to realize our condition spiritually, dead in trespasses and in sins. We see again, in these verses, in verse number 2, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world." And some of you grew up in a Christian home. My wife, from an early age, grew up in a Christian home. Some of you were born in a Christian home. Mother and father, both born again Christians. You've been in Sunday school since the first week or two of your life, and probably almost every Sunday you've been taught righteousness. You've been taught to choose between right and wrong. But all of us have experienced that fallen nature, that dead spirit, dead to God and the worship of God, that dead spirit that would lead us to pursue the course of this world. And by this world is meant basically Satan's kingdom, as he is the prince and power of the air. We see also in verse 2, "When in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." The master that we obeyed as unbelievers. I didn't get saved as early as my wife. And certainly my life had made a very wrong change of direction, a very downward change of direction. I had begun getting into things that would have destroyed my life. Certainly would have been much different than it is today. And I'm so glad that God saved me at 14 years of age when I heard the gospel and trusted Christ as my personal Savior. But before that, might certainly resemble this text. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Satan, that ungodly spirit, would work in our spirit and cause us to be children of disobedience. We see in verse 3, the companions followed. In verse 2, the companions followed the children of disobedience. And then in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh. Now again, if you grew up in a Christian home like my wife did, you would not have had the choices to get involved in some things that I got involved in. That doesn't mean that you did not have the nature that would have gone that way and would have followed those things. But because of God, if you've been spared from those things in your life, it is probably because of your church, your Sunday school classes, your pastor, teacher, and godly parents that have disciplined you and trained you and said no to certain things and stood up and enforced their commandment of no to you and have tried to teach you how to live right. But our nature would be to pursue and follow after those things. We see the state of unholy indulgence. He mentions then the lust of the flesh and the lust of the mind. We see our state of condemnation by nature, the children of wrath. He speaks in verse 2 of us living in sin, when in time past you walked according to Satan's order, the course of this world, according to Satan's power, according to the prince of the power of the air, according to Satan's character, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. In verse 3, our manner of life. That's what the word conversation there means. Among whom also we all had our conversation, our way of life, our manner of life in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We, in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, must bring those who are religious and yet not redeemed, religious, maybe going to church every week, at least once every week, hearing some kind of sermon, reading some kind of Bible, misunderstanding the gospel because of corruption in the ordinances and the emphasis and things in churches, not clearly preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So whether it's religious people who've not been regenerated, they've not been born again, or whether it's actually outright heathen people not believing in God or not knowing for sure that there is a God, at least claiming to not believe in God, it is the same nature, and it leads down the same path. But with whomsoever we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, for them to be saved, they first need to understand their condition without salvation. Dead in trespasses and sin, needing the gift of eternal life. And then, in verses 4 through 10, you might be happy to know there are only two major points today. That's always a relief to some. The riches of God's grace, in verse 4, through verse 10, the riches of God's grace. You, as a believer, you've recognized yourself as a sinner in need of salvation. You've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. You believed it. You called on the Lord Jesus Christ. You were born again. Your life was transformed. You are what you are now by the grace of God. to look at the riches of God's grace is thrilling. It can't get any better than that. The descriptions of the Bible of our condition in grace is absolutely thrilling. The language, I love it. You've got to love it. The riches of God's grace. As he concludes that thought of dead and trespasses and sins, and now begins to look at the riches of God's grace, we see in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. As humans, even as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's sometimes very hard for us to really have that same type of mercy toward others, the same type of grace toward others. But our God is rich in mercy. Now, some of you, no doubt, were not saved until you were older. Some of you, no doubt, lived a life that was so opposed to what God desires for our lives. Lived so ungodly, so wickedly. Again, all of us having that same nature. Not all of us having the same choices. But lived so ungodly that when God manifests his mercy towards you, his grace towards you, you realize that it was a great thing, great riches. Some that did not live that ungodly for lack of opportunity, lack of choice, we really need to see ourselves the same way. Because God is absolutely holy. God is absolutely righteous. One reason, as we see in our text today, at the end of the message today, one reason that we see in this text that we absolutely cannot save ourselves is because in our sinful nature, we can do nothing pleasing to God. Now, we may do things that are better, but from our heart, in our spirit, we cannot worship God in spirit and in truth, until our spirit is born again. Jesus said in John 3, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Our spirit must be born again in order for us to worship God in sincerity and truth. So it doesn't matter if you've gone to church every Sunday of your life. If you never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're still dead in trespasses and in sin. And while we were dead in trespasses and sin, we see the riches of God's grace. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Verse 5 says, even when we were dead in sins. He loved us. John 3:16, probably the best known verse of Scripture in the Bible. I think a lot of them know part of another verse or two in the Bible, the thou shalt not judge verse. There are millions and millions of people that know the thou shalt not judge. Now, they don't really know what it means. They don't understand the context, but they catch on to that phrase. And then they can ignore everything else. But the one that I think has been best known by professing Christians for many generations is John 3:16. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The riches of his grace. Why did God give his only begotten Son? Well, he loved us. And the gift of his Son, and the Son shed blood, taking our sin in his body on the cross, is the only way that man can be reconciled to God. It is the only way that God may be propitiated. Even when we were dead, He quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Here, this appreciation of God's grace, and for one who does not know for sure that they have eternal life, the way that you may have eternal life is to understand this grace of God, that God will save you by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, you cannot do that without understanding the gospel of Jesus Christ. But when we hear the gospel of Christ, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that He was buried, but that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture, according to Old Testament prophecy, according to the book of Isaiah, when we understand that He did that for us, and His shed blood is the only thing that can take away our sin, being born again by the Spirit of God is the only thing that can reconcile us to God and make us acceptable to God. When we understand that, and we believe it, and we call on the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we from that instant may have absolute assurance of eternal life. The riches of God's grace. We can have that because it is of God's grace. Many years ago, while I was a pastor in America, I worked in an automotive machine shop. And I worked under just one man, the head machinist in the machine shop there. And the kind of work we were doing, we had a lot of time to talk. And we were talking one day, and I made the comment that I knew for sure that I was going to heaven when I died. That comment really offended him, because for him, I was saying that, I was a preacher at the time. So to him, it was, oh, you think because you're a preacher, you think because of, you know, whatever, you're so good, you're so righteous, you know for sure you're going to heaven. No, he totally misunderstood. I knew I was going to heaven because of the grace of God. And if you know you're going to heaven, you know you're going to heaven because of the grace of God, not because of your works. By grace, you're saved. He's raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. When we trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, there's such a great transformation that takes place on the inside. Our spirit being born again, a new nature that we have that desires to follow Christ. An inseparable union with Jesus Christ, our elder brother. We're raised up together, made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In verse 7, that in the ages to come, He might shew the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. In chapter 1, the apostle wrote how those who first trusted in Christ were to the praise of the glory of His grace. And then those of us, for us now, over 1,000 years, almost 2,000 years later, have trusted in Christ. But everyone that trusts in Christ is to the praise of the glory of His grace. And when in the ages to come, even at the judgment seat of Christ, we will be at the judgment seat of Christ because of being saved by grace. And everyone will know, and everyone will see, and everyone will have the understanding and see personally that grace of God in our lives, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. What marvelous, what amazing grace. And then verses 8 and 9, again, explaining this so clearly, so that no one might misunderstand. Although many preachers misunderstand it, the doctrinal position of many churches clearly misunderstands what is being shared in this portion of Scripture. But every born-again believer understands that by grace we're saved through faith. We hear, we believe, we accept, we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. This God. God so loved us, He sent His Son. God so loved us that in the changing of others and sending forth others to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to us, inspiring prophets to write the record of the grace of God. 1 John chapter 5 speaks of that grace of God, and through the gospel of grace, we may know for sure that we have eternal life. It's not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Every one of you here today who are born again child of God, every one of you here today who have eternal life, you received eternal life as a gift. You gained the knowledge that was necessary to believe. The Spirit of God worked in your heart to convict your heart, to bring repentance and faith. You believed, and you were given the gift of eternal life. Verse 9, again, emphasizes and explains further. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Have you ever seen a religious boaster? Surely you have. Again, the machinist that I was working under thought I was boasting religiously. It was actually the opposite that I was trying to share with him, and then did share with him after the shock kind of quieted down. Not of works, lest any man should boast. No one of us was in any better situation before God in our sin than any other. And because we're saved by grace, none can boast. And even though we have many, no doubt, many different levels of spirituality in this congregation, we have some very new converts. We have some who have been saved, no doubt, for decades. I've been saved for decades. Wow. I've been saved well over 50 years. But it doesn't matter. It's all the grace of God, and no matter how much you mature spiritually, no matter how faithfully you serve God, it's still all the grace of God. Because it's still God working in you. And so, no matter what you accomplish in your Christian life, it's always thrilled me, amazed me, how God is so gracious toward us, so loving toward us, so generous toward us, that He takes an ungodly human being. Jesus Christ died for their sin. When that person calls on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, He forgives all of that sin, gives them new life, gives them the Holy Spirit working in them so that they might be able to serve Him. And whatever is accomplished in our service for God, it's all by the grace of God. And then we get to be at the judgment seat of Christ, where God then rewards us for the work that He did in our lives. The riches of God's grace. The riches of God's grace. And then, not of works lest any man should boast. Verse 10, 4. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, that inseparable bond with Jesus Christ. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What you must realize today, if you do not know for sure that you have eternal life, if you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ personally as your Savior, what you must realize today is that good works, religious works, service for God, is what God has ordained for us after we trust Christ as our personal Savior, after we've received eternal life. Nothing before that gift of eternal life. So that we may say, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I'll cling. If you've not trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you do not know for sure that you have eternal life, and if you do not know for sure that you have eternal life, you probably don't. You're probably trusting in the wrong thing. If you do not have the Spirit of God bearing witness with your spirit that you're a child of God, you're probably not a child of God. Most certainly not a child of God. But you can today, right here in this auditorium, at home in your own house. But you may today believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Him as your Savior. Call upon Him as your Savior and receive eternal life. And I would encourage you to do that today before you leave this place. However, if you are a born-again child of God, if you can with me thrill at the riches of God's grace, and I know, I've talked to some of you, I have known some of you quite well, we can rejoice and thrill together at the wonder, the marvel of God's grace in our hearts, and dedicate our lives to serving Him. When the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12 challenged the Christians at Rome to present their bodies a living sacrifice unto God, he prefaced it by according to His grace. Because of His graciousness that we would give our lives to God. And I'm sure that many of you have given your life to God, lives to God. I also know that in any of our lives, trials, different things can happen that cause us to begin to grow cold, cause us to draw back and not serve with the same fervor that we once did. And if that's true of you today, it's time to get it straightened out. It's time to get it right. If you're serving God faithfully, it's time to rejoice, and it's time to continue. Again, Pastor mentioned that we as Americans need to continue to contend for our liberty. We as Christians need to continue in our service for God. It's not going to get any easier. It no doubt will get harder. It just means that we need to be more committed than ever before. Would you bow your heads with me for a word of